Well, it's time now for 90 Mile View, the series that gives us glimpses into the lives of folks who live and work in worlds which may be different from our own. Eric Peterson received his first train set when he was about 7 years old. He took his first train ride when he was 8 aboard Amtrak. So it shouldn't surprise anybody that 21 years later, Eric is now a licensed engineer for that very same passenger railroad. And Eric Peterson, welcome to Up to Date. So nice to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you had to be pleased with last week's press release from Amtrak showing increased ridership for the first half of this fiscal year, plus the fact that last month set a record as the single best month ever for ridership in the history of Amtrak. What's the reaction among employees when they hear good news like that, Mike?
Well, nobody has really said anything, but I know when I hear that kind of news, it's always good to know that more and more people are wanting to take trains instead of planes, and I'm always trying to encourage people to take the train because, like flying, it's more of a hassle. People are in such a hurry, and it's just not a comfortable atmosphere. I even talk to people like when you go to the airport, you have to go an hour early. You pretty much have to strip down everything just to get on a plane.
I mean, none of that for Amtrak.
Oh
right?
No, you get violated when you fly.
Yeah,
the train, it's nice, relaxed atmosphere, and then you get to know people.
I've always thought Amtrak and riding that train is like free therapy. It's just a wonderful thing. Does news like that make you more confident about Amtrak's future?
I know a lot of people have always been saying bad stuff about Amtrak, but even not just this year, but the past year and the year before that, it's been increasing every year. More and more people are taking the train. What also is helping is our on-time performance on our trains now is actually the big difference. Actually, when I first hired out 7 years ago, the Kansas City-St. Louis train, which is now called the Missouri River Runner, was one of the worst on-time trains in the whole system.
Yes.
And I would have trips where we only had 10 people on the train. Yeah. Now the Missouri River Runner is one of the most on-time trains in the system, and we have seen a much improved passenger volume on these trains now. I mean, like on the weekends, we almost haven't sold out trains now because everybody's taking the train.
I used to be one of those 10 people on the train back when I used to go to Jeff City every week. I used to take the train religiously, and the thing was on time maybe half the time, but it was such a great way to go. Mm-hmm. I got to know the engineers so well back in those days, Mike, that they would break the rules and sort of have me up in the car. I would toot the horn some nights as we went down the tracks.
Wow.
It was great. And I was amazed at how many folks would come out as the train passed in the evenings just to wave at the conductors and engineers going mm-hmm. by. That still happened?
Oh, yeah, especially coming from Fort Madison, Iowa, one of our nether routes. It's the Southwest Chief that goes from Chicago to Los Angeles, and we actually have a lot of Amish people that come out and wave the trains all the time.
How do you like that?
I always get a thrill of it, especially with kids. I always try to make sure I'll blow, to the horn for them, try to open the windows, wave at them, because I know when I was a child, I always got a thrill when the engineer took his time to, acknowledge, me as he went by.
Yeah. How many routes are there out of Kansas City, and which one sees the most riders, Eric?
Well, you got the regional St. Louis train, and then you have the long-distance train that goes from Chicago to Los Angeles that goes through Kansas City. So you can go towards Chicago or go west towards Los Angeles Albuquerque, Flagstaff, Arizona.
You started out as an assistant conductor with the rail service, but first you had to go to school in Delaware. And I just love this. Amtrak workers refer to that school as Choo Choo U. What do they teach you there?
Well, when I first hired out, it was, basic railroad rules, how to couple, uncouple trains, and just all the basics of how to work with the trains. Now, from what I've been told, well, of course, I also complained too at that time that the test was too easy. I'm like, with our kind of responsibility, it needs to be a little harder. Well, I guess, I don't know if it was from me, but they did take it to heart finally, and it's a lot tougher, but it's also more customer-oriented because since our ridership is going up and up, and there are some conductors, old heads that have been with the railroad forever, that they just go to work just to work but don't care about the passengers. Mm-hmm. So they're wanting people to actually, want to work with these passengers to give them a good experience on the train.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's more customer-oriented now. But
how much responsibility and how tough is it to manage one of these trains and actually drive it down the tracks as fast as you guys go?
As an engineer now, especially on a passenger train, it's a little different than a freight train because on a passenger train, the conductor is in the back of the train, so the engineer is doing all the work. Because on the freight train, you have the conductor up with the engineer, so the engineer can just solely drive the train and just concentrate on what he's doing. and then the conductor will handle the radio. Well, as an Amtrak engineer now, like going to Fort Madison, that's 90-mile-an-hour territory. So I'm having to pay attention to what I'm doing, blowing the horn, looking out for the signals, while talking on the radio, clearing through work gangs, and talking to the dispatcher while, you know, having to slow down for permanent or temporary speed restrictions. All of this can happen at the same time, you know. And
so you're working pretty hard up there.
It can. It can. I mean, as long as it's a normal day, it's fine. But you know, things can fall down on you and go, oh, my God.
Yeah. How long did it take you to move up to be conductor?
At that time, it was just about 6-7 months. But I know Amtrak has changed to where it's a little over a year now. Because a lot of those assistant conductors that back when I was first hired were having a lot of rule violations because they just didn't have the experience to be the conductor. Because there are times where we have to back up a train, so the conductor is the engineer's eyes, and they have gone through a few red signals, and that's a big no-no.
Hey, just real quickly before you go, tell us about the time you had to deal with a passenger in increasing stages of undress.
It was in the middle of the night between Hutchinson and Newton, Kansas, about 3 o'clock in the morning. I was in the Sightseer lounge car, and a passenger came back to me and goes, hey, there's a guy in the back of the train stumbling around, doesn't know what he's doing, and he's got his pants on the ground. And I was like, oh, dear God. And so I started my way back towards the back of the train, and of course the Pants on the Ground song popped in my mind. And so I'm singing that in my head, and as soon as I get back to the back of the train, here's this guy passed out, spread eagle, declothed.
Wow.
And but I think long story short, he had taken sleeping pills with alcohol.
Ooh.
And he had been swearing and all that, and I had families back in the back of the train, and but I had to have police remove him from the train.
Engineers have to do all kinds of things, don't they?
Well, that was a conductor.
Conductor, yeah. Eric, so good to have you here.
Thank you.
That's Eric Peterson. Come back and visit with us, okay?
Oh, I will.
You bet. You can find previous episodes of 90 Mile View as well as more information about our program at kcur.org.